Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that he's doing and all the wonderful blessings that he's doing in these days. You know, God is mightily moving, and he wants us to pay close attention to the things that he's doing, to what he's saying, the method that he gives. Everything he do is very important. We left the last broadcast. We ran out of time, and it was getting good. So we're going to go back there to those scriptures. I had mentioned something in the last broadcast about how we have to do things that God gives us to do, not how man's try to interpret it. Never live the spin that people put on the Word of God. Just live the Word of God, especially when he gives you an instruction to do something. Do it exactly and precisely the way the Lord give you to do it. That's the way it'll work to satisfy the Lord. Remember, true worship is willing obedience. Now, that's two powerful words. Willing obedience. Taking God at his word, doing precisely what he said. And in the last days, if you want to see the greater works done, that's the way it's going to be done. Now, people who will not precisely do the living works of God, they'll do things haphazardly and sometimes against the will of God, or they'll do things that God didn't exactly tell them to do, and it will hinder the whole process. If your focus is not on the Lord, it changes the whole dynamic, because our focus, whatever we focus on, that's the way. That's the direction we're going to take. So your focus can change the whole direction of your life, of your ministry, whatever God has given you to do. The way you focus is the way it will turn out. And God is foundational. So if we look to Jesus, in love with him, in love with his word and his works, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, he's going to guide us in seven ways. There are seven manifestations, like we always talk. He's going to guide you that way, the way he wants you to go. And everything is just precise. You know, God is very precise in what he does and what he sanctions. The people he chooses. Sometimes the people God chooses, they don't believe that they qualified. They don't see what God see. And they can't. I couldn't see what God saw in me. But I can do what he said I could do. I believe him. So we have an illustration here in 1 Kings chapter 13. This is very important. I'm going to spend a little time on it because this is just too good. This is a strong illustration of how important it is to precisely obey the guidance of God. Now, Jeroboam was the prophet who was trained by, he fled to Egypt, and he was trained by Pharaoh to be a witch. And he came back, and he set a false god in Dan and one in Bethel. And he led Israel astray and into idolatry and away from the perfect will of God. And what he did then is laid the foundation for how the church went wrong today. What he did, the idolatry he started way on back then, that's what caused Israel to go into captivity, and a lot of good knowledge was lost. A lot of people were killed because of him. And when Israel got into idolatry, that affected everything. It caused a lot of problems. So God sent a man to warn him. And everything that God did came to pass. Everything the prophet said. Now watch this. I'm going to go backwards. I read this yesterday in the last broadcast, but we'll visit it again to give a more complete understanding. 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it to himself again. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor return again by the same way that thou came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And the father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that had brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass to know for the prophet whom he had brought back, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of God, unto the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city and to mourn and bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. You know, the younger prophet respected the older prophet, just like we do today. We look up to pastors and prophets and people that we love and people in the Lord, especially if they help train us. But it never takes away from the fact that you got to obey the word of God, the word of the Lord your God. You have to do exactly and precisely what the Holy Spirit gives you personally. And you have to defend it. You have to make it happen if you want to see the glory of God. You know, there's a reason. The Lord don't always give you the reasons for why he does. I don't even know why he couldn't eat bread and water in that place. But this illustration is very important, if nothing else, but to show us how important it is to do precisely and exactly what the Lord our God say do. And you know, we can, if you want to know why the Lord said do it this way, ask him. But this illustration is important. A man died because of simple disobedience. All right. And then the older prophet wanted to be buried next to him. He said, verse 32, for the saying which he had cried by the word of the Lord against him, the altar in Bethel, and against the houses of the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priest and of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated them, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. All right. Now let's skip on over now. 2 Kings chapter 23. Josiah is alive, and he began to repent. And God loved Josiah. You know, that king repented more than, he feared God more than all the kings of Israel, even David. There's nobody that repented like he did. And the word of God teaches us that. Let's start at 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and read in their ears. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook of Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priest had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand, at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priest of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. And in, look at all this idolatry. It's sickening. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from this, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built it for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, for Chemosh, and the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, and the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king devour. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he brake down and buried, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That prophet, way back then in the days of Jeroboam, prophesied that Josiah would be born and do these things. That King Josiah would, and that's what's happening. Now watch verse 17. Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulchre of the man of God which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor in the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to the Lord to Jerusalem. You know, all these things happened. They came to pass. This man repented when he found the book and went back to what God said in the first place. He had the whole kingdom to repent. Now at this point, Manasseh had filled up the sins and they were going into captivity, and there was nothing that could stop it because Manasseh had sinned and he filled up all the, it was irreversible that they were going into Babylonian captivity. But Josiah lived after, he was Manasseh's grandson, if I remember right. And Josiah repented, just like the prophet said he would. Now, verse 24 says, moreover, the workers with the familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Even King David. And David loved God from his heart. But nobody repented and feared God like Josiah did. And verse 25 proves it. Verse 26, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulchre. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Now, all these things happened. He was killed in a battle with Pharaoh Necho. But all these things happened because of idolatry. Josiah rose up and judged it, just like he should have. God loves us. We have to stick to the plan. The young prophet should have did what the Lord told him to do. And this is an illustration not to deviate from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And men are very persuasive. And people, you feel wrong if you don't do what a pastor or a prophet say. But nobody can, you should never let anyone get in the way of what the Lord has put in your heart and what he's guiding you to do. If there was any illustration to prove the facts that I just said, this is it. The young man was commanded by the Lord to do things a specific way. For this reason, when the Lord give me something, I don't go and broadcast it to the wrong people. In fact, when he give me an assignment, I don't even talk about it. I don't give the details unless the Lord require me to. Because I've been down that road, and people are crafty. They're clever. Never underestimate the enemy. People can be very persuasive. Our will is strong, and the Lord is strong as we need it to be. But we don't need to burden ourselves with any deviations. If you know, the enemy, he'll use people like a mask. He'll urge people to give you the wrong advice because of who they are. If your focus changes, your direction changes. The way you're going, the pattern you're setting, it's going to follow the focus that you have. This goes for everybody. I know it's popular to look up to true prophets and honor them. You honor the man that honors God. You receive him in the name of the Lord. Thank God for it. But we don't have the right to put men above God. Even Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Anything else is unreasonable. I wouldn't want somebody to follow me over Christ. You got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Only he can give. It didn't say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit and thirsting, saith the Lord. It didn't say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And even Kenneth Hagin, saith the Lord. It said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one we need to be guided by. Thank God for all the other wonderful ministers that we love and adore. But you're still required by you can recognize his voice. If he tell you something you want to hear, you thank God, you jump up and down, you want to do it, you can't wait till it happens. So when he give you an assignment, you know he was talking. It's distinguishable. You have to match it with your faith. You have to decide, I'm going to receive this and I'm going to make it happen. Now, I can tell you point blank, if you receive the words of the Lord, when he reveals it, whatever your concerns are, as long as you're in faith, he will give you all of the confirmations you need to get the job done. If you deviate from faith, he'll stop talking to you. That's how he did me. But if I was in faith about it, I didn't have to go and ask anybody what the Lord was saying. He will cause them to say what I needed every time. When he gave me something that was hard for me to receive, I would match it with my, I would believe it because I heard him. I don't pretend like God didn't speak. And he will cause people to say what I needed. And they will say what he sanctioned them to say. It doesn't do any good to go and ask them about all the details because they don't have the revelation. They just spoke a word under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Just because we speak a word under the unction of the Holy Spirit don't mean we're professionals in that area of life. That doesn't mean I know all the details. I spoke what God required me to speak at that time. You're going to have to get the details from the Holy Spirit. And I learned that. And sometimes I learned it the hard way. Because I've had people to speak under the anointing. They spoke according to the unction of the Holy Spirit. And then in regular conversation, they told me not to do it. Same people. It's going to happen some more if the Lord tarry. But that's the way it is. Following God, there's no substitute for faith. You're just going to have to believe what God said do and do it. And be settled with it. Enjoy it. You don't have to go around and make something happen. And you don't need people to approve what you do. Just do what God said do and you'll be fine. The young prophet could have lived. He could have been buried in Judah, but he was buried in Samaria. But at least he was part of an illustration to give people clarity in the last days when we really needed such an example. And the Lord knew his strength, and that's probably why he did it the way he did it, to give us this illustration. But there could be other greater reasons as well. So for that, you'll have to go beyond me and ask the Lord. Because I don't know. And it's all right not to know. There's so much I don't know. Yeah, but you're an apostle. Apostles don't know everything. Apostle Paul didn't know he had authority over the sea. But you never read about Peter in a ship accident. I mean, he didn't know. He could have told the waves to stop, but he didn't know that. So he did the best he did. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Paul was not with him he was not with Peter and the other disciples when Jesus calmed the storm. He was not there, so he didn't know about it. So he wasn't in just one shipwreck. He was in more than one shipwreck. But Peter was never in a shipwreck, because Peter was with Jesus, and Jesus calmed the storm, and he learned we have authority over the weather right now. We have, all of us. If we tell the weather to stop, it'll stop. And the weather is, the storms come because of man's sin. And that's a whole nother topic. And the Lord gave me a dream about it. When people sin and sin and sin, the earth was going to follow that pattern. It's going to do what man does. It always have, and it always will. To completely stop the storms, you have to get men to quit sinning. And that's not going to happen. But you can rebuke the winds for your sake. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.